Recording has started. Great. Thanks, Joy. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all, and welcome to the sub-team for additional marketplace RPMs call on the 1st of September, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? And we have Steve Levy on.
Hi, this is Claudia. I'm on the audio bridge.
Great, thank you. And as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand the meeting back over to Paul McGrady.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Marketplace Protection sub-team call. We have a very limited agenda today, and that is good news, and I don't want to jinx us, but if we get through this limited agenda, we will have addressed all the questions, and I think our work will be done, other than to present the revised list of questions back to the main working group, and, of course, answer any questions the working group might have of us on how we got here. So I will just jump in here on our agenda and see if we can move through it. Who knows, maybe we will get done. This might be our very last call. We'll see. Okay, so agenda item number one was discussion of the language proposed by Greg Shatten for question number six. This was on our last call. He proposed which additional marketplace RPMs were submitted for RCEP approval and which additional marketplace RPMs were submitted to ICANN for some other form of approval. We thought Greg thought that that might capture what the goal of question six was, which is to tease out which of these additional marketplace RPMs are finding their way into ICANN one way or the other. I thought there was some general consensus about this rephrasing on our last call, but I don't want to presume that. So I will open the queue on that. Christine Durain, I see your hands open. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone. This is Christine. Not to belabor the point, but I still do object that this question is completely outside the scope of this sub-team and this PAP. I don't think that there's no reason to dig into the how of the all the additional marketplace RPMs whether or not I can need to approve them or not. And that we are here to find out about how they work and how they interact with Sunrise. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. You are a little bit distorted on your on how we're hearing you, but I think everybody captured what you were trying to say, which is a continuing objection to this particular question because it seems to be out of scope of what we were meant to be doing here, which is looking at how additional marketplace protections interact with the other RPMs and with each other, rather than exploring the origin of how they came to be. I see here from the chat, John Nevitt says he agrees with Christine, but not as loudly. I think that was a joke about how we're maybe how loudly we're hearing Christine. Let's see what else. More about Christine's malfunctioning microphone. Any other comments other than Christine's, or in addition to Christine's, or comments about Christine's comment regarding this question number six? I think at some point we have to decide as a group, are we keeping it or are we not keeping it? And if we are keeping it, is this the right phraseology? Greg, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatten. I hope my levels are decent, audio levels, that is. I don't want the fact that I suggested this to mean that I'm, you know, in favor of this question per se, but trying to see if there's a consensus position that I could contribute to developing my sympathies if we were to take a sense of the room is with Christine on this one. But if we were going to have a question at all, it needs to be kind of fact-based and historical, you know, a look-back, knowledge-based question, which is what I've tried to fashion here. But, you know, overall, not sure it's a question we need to ask at all, but as it was being asked previously, was really, you know, from a different script entirely. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Any other comments about this particular question six? Kathy, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Hi. Apologies to everyone for being late. I've been busy packing up for the weekend. The proposal, I guess, is to delete this, Paul. We've talked a lot about this and kind of the importance of understanding what the approval process is for private rights protection mechanisms, because they are adjacent to consensus rights protection mechanisms. So I thought we had talked a lot last time about editing this to kind of streamline it, but not to delete it altogether. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Yes, and that was how we ended up with Greg's rewrite. Any other comments on this? John Nevitt, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little faint, and there's also someone who did not put their phone on mute, and I hear typing. Thanks, John. Please
better?
Go ahead. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, real briefly, this might be an important issue about approval processes for additional RPMs and whether to use the RCEP, but it's not an important issue for this group. And in fact, it's being discussed right now in the subsequent procedures working group, work track 4. So I think we don't have to rehash the whole argument about what the relevance is to this group, but we're looking at the RPMs that existed in the 2012 round and not how other additional RPMs are approved. To the extent the other marketplace RPMs are relevant, it's just how they interact with and work with the ones that we're reviewing. And so this is out of scope. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Well, this is one of those fun times when you're chairing something like this, where you're trying to determine which way the wind is blowing. And unfortunately, we have opinions on both sides of this one, so it's not clear to me, anyways, how the wind is blowing here. Kathy, I see your hands up. Oh, please go ahead.
Thanks, John. And I'm participating in my individual capacity, and as was Phil Corwin last week, and I don't see him here, but he was pretty eloquent on understanding this question, understanding not the approval process in detail, but basic fact gathering about the approval process so that we understand as part of the private rights protection mechanisms, if indeed it is going on right now in subsequent procedures, all the better. Why don't we get the data from them? But the idea that we're punting it to them, I think they're looking at different angles of this. We are focused on the rights protection mechanisms. These are rights protection mechanisms. So I don't think we can punt it over there, but we're going on a call. And am I the only coach? No, Jay Scott is here. We're going on a call with the subsequent procedures co-chairs shortly. We've been trying to schedule that, amidst everyone's busy schedules. But that is coming up shortly. And if we want to put a streamlined question here and then get the answers from, to the extent subsequent procedures have them to share, we've got perfect timing for doing that. But the idea of not asking the question at all, again, Phil was very eloquent last week on why we should, in his individual capacity. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. I see from the chat, Christine Durain says, no one has indicated why and how these get approved is relevant. J. Scott says, I think I always understood that mandated RPMs were a floor, not a ceiling, and that the marketplace would provide additional protections. I tend to agree with Christine and Greg here. Christine Durain, again, we are not here to review the additional market, additional mechanisms, though, Kathy. We are here to get Sunrise data. David McCauley says, I agree that we should take advantage of work that SubPro Working Track 4 is doing. J. Scott Evans has a good suggestion and one that I was about to suggest myself. Why don't we just take a quick poll here on the Adobe Connect? And if we want to keep this question, if you could give me a green check mark. And if you want to delete this question, could you give me a red X?
Paul, hey, it's Claudio. I'm not on Adobe, but I'm just going to pass on this one. I haven't really given it a lot of thought. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Claudio. Mary Wong, before I count the X's and check marks, I see your hands up. Could you please go ahead?
Yes, thank you, Paul. Hi, everyone. This is Mary from staff. So just a more of a question, really, for Greg and the group. With the rephrasing that Greg has proposed, which is, I think, to make it more fact-based, as David and others were suggesting last week, we just wanted to ask from the staff perspective, to whom is this question directed? Our understanding was that the original question as phrased was meant to be directed at ICANN. As rephrased, from the ICANN perspective, I don't know that we can actually answer this because we certainly, as ICANN, do not have a list or definitions for what constitute additional marketplace RPMs, much less a rule that these have or have not to be submitted to us in whatever form for approval. Thanks, Paul. So just a question.
Thanks, Mary. Okay. Well, so it appears that we have, it looks like three times as many red checks as we do, or red X's as we do green checks. So I suppose that's the way the wind is blowing. We have a few folks who did not indicate one way or the other on this particular question. I see that Kathy suggested that we count Phil Corwin as a green check mark, but Kathy, as you can appreciate, we don't have a proxy process for these kinds of calls. So unfortunately, Phil can't be here, but I don't know that we want to start going down that path. So let's go ahead and go with the way the wind is blowing, and we will delete question six, and we should then move on. Let's see here. Next up is item number two, agree on whether to move former question eight, now renumbered as question seven, following the incorporation of the previous question seven into a new bullet point under question three, out of the main text and into the archived portion of the same document. Archived under the heading deleted as outside the remit of the subteam, but archived for working group information. I think that there was a sort of an agreement to do this last time, but I think staff wanted to confirm that, so I will open a queue on agenda item number two. Rebecca, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Hey, Rebecca Teshnet. I actually wanted to register my strong objection to saying that there's a consensus to delete. If you look at the people who weren't sure and were not voting, plus the people who voted to keep it, that actually is more than the people who voted to delete it. This may be a larger procedural question, but it seems to me that you can't say there's a consensus when that is the case. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. I didn't say there was a consensus. I was actually very careful not to do that because that is a word without a definition in ICANN land. but I was trying to get a sense of which way the wind was blowing, and unfortunately, as a chair of these sorts of things when I'm not trying to put my own personal point of view over the question. The best thing that I can do is ask people to raise their hands, and there were overwhelmingly red X's, and there were two green check marks, and there were people, others who did not care enough one way or the other to voice a red X or a green check mark. So I note your strong objection, but I think it's based upon the faulty assumption that I said there was some sort of consensus. There is, however, nothing keeping anyone, as we all know, these working groups are quite porous, from reintroducing the concept contained in deleted question six at the working group level if they want to do that. All right. So back to agenda item number two. This is whether or not to make this particular move, former question number eight. This was Kathy's suggestion on how to deal with this particular question, moving it to the end of the document under a heading, deleted as outside the remit of subteam, but archive for working group information. Again, like I said, there didn't seem to be much objection to this way of handling this question. And so I will open a queue on objections to the plan to archive this. Okay, seeing no objection, I hope that is the way the wind is blowing. Let's do that thing. Hopefully no one has any concerns about me trying to figure out which way the wind was blowing on that one and making a decision. So that leads us to the remaining questions. And let's see if we can get through them. And I believe that is we will begin at our new question number eight. Mary, let me raise your hand or let me know if that's wrong. Let's see. Question number eight. What roles do the TMCH providers play in the provision of additional marketplace RPMs by registry operators, both the front end Deloitte and the back end IBM? I will open a queue on this question. Any concerns, any rephrasings? Okay, nobody raising a hand. This question seems to have no detractors. Anybody? Just on the audio bridge, any concerns? Going once, going twice.
Paul, this is Mary.
Sorry, I know I'm terrible. I'm terrible about watching further up the food chain. Mary, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Not at all, Paul, and I did not mean to interrupt. Essentially, I was going to make a comment for the working group to consider, but I see that I think Christine has made the same comment as a member question in the chat, which is that for this question eight and possibly also question nine, one thing that this group may wish to consider is whether some or all of what this is trying to do may already be captured by question three, which, as you recall, we have reworked significantly since its first iteration.
Okay. So let's take a look at question eight. What roles do the TMCH provider play in the provision of additional marketplace RPMs by registry operators, both on the front end, Deloitte, and the back end, IBM? And let's go up to question number three. Good suggestion, Mary. And question number three, what are each registry operator's rules for each type of additional marketplace RPMs? It offers, noting that some new GTLD registry operators offer more than one version of a protected marks list service, where a trademark holder uses a protected mark list service, e.g. blocking service for one or more classes of goods or services? Are they able to block another rights holder, hold the same trademark, but for a different class of goods or services? What do registry operators impose as a condition for using protected marks lists, e.g. blocking services, for example? Do they all use the same valid SMB file contained in the TMCH database? Next is kind of garbled. Let me see if I can zoom in on it and make it less so. What do registry operators, we did that bullet. Lastly, how much and what manner of use does each registry operator make? Of data from the TMCH or the trademark holder and providing its additional marketplace RPMs. Oh, I see a note here from Mary and your hands up. Sorry, it may be question number two that's more relevant. That's good because I was a bit confused myself. Okay, let's go up here. Question number two, are registry operators relying on the results of the TMCH validation services or accessing the TMCH database to provide additional marketplace RPMs, and if so, in what ways? Is there language in the current adopted TMCH policy or related documents that expressly permits, prohibits, or otherwise addresses such use by registry operators? Are registry operators able to provide the same or similar additional marketplace RPMs without relying on the TMCH validation services or access to the TMCH database? Will there be an increase in cost? If so, what will that be to stakeholders along the value chain, i.e. brand owners, registries, registrars, and other registrants? Okay. I guess the question is question eight subsumed within question two? Should we keep question eight independent? Does question two cover it? If question two doesn't cover it, should we reopen the language of question two to try to find a way forward to get rid of question number eight, or should we just leave question number eight alone? I will open, keeping in mind that when I first read question eight, there wasn't any really objection to it substantively, I don't think, just a suggestion that maybe question eight is already handled elsewhere. I will open up a queue on for anybody that has an opinion on either keeping question eight as is because it fits neatly within question number two already, or modifying question number two doing away with question number eight because question number two already handles it, doing away with question number eight based upon modifying question number two in some way, or I guess just hanging on to question number eight the way it is. Anybody at all? We'll just open a queue here and see if we get any hands. Okay, no passionate outspoken folks for doing anything with question number eight. So here's the deal. Question number two was hard fought. And I understand that we want to have some efficiency in not asking the question same question over and over again. I will say that I think if I thought enough about question number two, I might be able to see question number eight in there. But my concern about reopening up question number two to deal with an uncontroversial question like question number eight probably lacks efficiency for us. Greg Shatton, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Hi, Greg Shatton, for the record. I do have some concerns about question number eight. It's very kind of open-ended and ambiguous. I also think who is this question being asked to as well? And trying to figure out whether, as we get to question nine, whether it is just the same question being asked two different ways, servicing versus provision. And whether these questions are in essence really about the additional marketplace RPMs. Question nine, to my mind, seems to be setting up perhaps a criticism of the TMCH provider for being too solicitous to marketplace RPM providers and kind of questioning how this is going on. You know, it just doesn't strike me as very kind of, there seems to be some inherent bias in the question. So I don't want to just kind of let 8 and 9 pass as with the thought that they're kind of all okay, both the way they're phrased. I think they both tend to look like fishing expeditions. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Greg. I'm hesitant to jump ahead to question 9 when we're trying to deal with question number 8. So we will get to question number 9, and I encourage you to bring forward any concerns about question number 9 at the time. For question number 8, I see in the chat, Christine Durain, I do think question 8 is already addressed in question number 2. We have Christine suggesting that. We also have staff suggesting that it may well be there, handling question number 2. I see Kathy saying, Kathy, please go ahead.
Wow. At the start of Labor Day, I seem to be the contrarian in the group. Sorry about that, guys, but I don't see how question 2 covers question 8 at all. One is about registry operators. One is about providers. Providers are very much in our remit. We're the ones who brought the providers in, we being ICANN and ICANN contracts. If we're not reviewing that, you know, that seems core to our mission. I don't see how the question is biased. It's pretty short, clear data gathering. It's a good question, and I don't see how it's covered by number 2 at all. Different groups being looked at, being reviewed. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. David, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. David McCullough here. Listening to Greg and Kathy, maybe it's just we could just shove 8 into 2 by saying, are there other roles that TMCH providers play? And just have it as a follow-on sentence at the end of number 2. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Any reactions to David's suggestion that we move the content of question 8 and tack it on to the end of question number 2? Greg, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Just to respond more to what Kathy said, I think that question 8 and question 2 are kind of mirror images of each other, or kind of asking about what the same transaction, if you will, from the point of view of one end and then the other end, kind of like, you know, what sandwich did you buy? What sandwich did you sell? It's the same sandwich. So that's why I think that there's a high degree of overlap between the two of them. And again, if we haven't identified who we're asking, if the intent is to ask the operator on the one hand and the registries on the other hand, or you know, registry service providers on the other hand, then maybe it makes sense for him to be a separate question. But a lot of this is kind of nebulous. I think putting question 8 in question 2 and trying to make it a little bit more rigorous and focused would be, you know, a way to go to kind of achieve, you know, some consensus and try to, if there is just some missing information here in understanding, you know, how additional marketplace RPMs work, then, you know, we should know the facts about that. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Kathy, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Question 2 is such a long question. I could see why David would want to add 8 to it, but let me suggest, and I could see why Mary, I'm going to kind of rephrase her request, and Mary, tell me if I got it all wrong, but question 2 and question 8 are related, but I don't think they're the same question. So what if, you know, the reordering might be kind of the concept, that we bring the question 8 and 9 questions up under question 2. But I think we're going to find 8 and 9 have a lot more in common. Greg already hinted at that. So, and we've already spent a lot of time on 2. And number 2
I mean, it's a big, long question, and 8 and 9 have a slightly different emphasis and certainly a different focus. So, Paul, the suggestions on the table, and I know we haven't gotten to 9 yet, that we move 8 up under 2, not as part of 2, but as a continuation of kind of the thought of what we're looking at, and probably 8 and 9 will probably emerge as a suggestion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Okay. Any other comments on this? We have, I see in the chat, Mary said, reminds me the staff was just suggesting what seemed to be an overlap for consideration and discussion by the group. They don't have an opinion. Thanks, Mary. I didn't mean to imply that you did, just that you saw some overlap there. Just wanted to note that. And then Christine Durain says, the first sentence of Q2 says, ROs relying on the results of TMCH validation services. That is explains the relatedness here. Obviously, if registry operators are relying on TMCH providers, then that means that they're playing some role. Kathy says, how about question 8 follows number 2? So question 8 would follow question number 2, I guess would become our new question 3. That's Kathy's suggestion. We have a suggestion earlier. I think it was from David. I'm sorry. I thought it was from you. That we tack on question number 8 to the end of question number 2 and make it part of question number 2. And then, of course, we have the suggestion that question 8's already been, this is Christine Durain, that question 8's already been addressed by question number 2. Thank you, David, for confirming that that was your suggestion tacking on to question number 2. Okay. Well, with fear and trepidation, I think that I'd like to have another testing the wind exercise here, and let's see how many Adobe things that we can do here. So for those who would like to tack question 8 on to question number 2, please give me a green check mark. For those who would like question 8 to become a new question directly after question number 2, can you give me the red X of disagreement? And for those of you who would like to keep question 8 just the way it is and question 2 just the way it is, can you please give me a step away? All right. Well, we have one from David saying make it part of question number 2. Kathy says a what? So we have agree, disagree, and step away in the drop-down menu after raise hand. All right. Not getting any responses other than David. Staff, are you seeing responses other than David? I'm a little concerned.
Paul, this is Mary from staff. We are also only seeing a green check mark from David, but we know that Greg has asked for the options to be restated.
Oh, okay. So if you would like for question number 8 to be tacked on to the end of question number 2, and it will say what other roles do the TMCH provider play in the provision of additional marketplace RPMs by registry operators, both the front-end Deloitte and the back-end IBM, that would be a green check mark of agreement. If you want that modified question number 8 to be its own standalone question after question number 2, I don't think that we even need to modify question number 8. I think it just becomes its own new question number 3. That would be an X for disagreement. I know that, unfortunately we don't have camp A, camp 2, so that would be an X for disagreement. And then if you just think question number 8 and question number two are just wonderful the way they are. There's an option here that says step away, and if you can check on step away. Let's try again on our exercise here. If you guys could do that for me. Christine says, I'm going to suggest that since it's a repeated question, it doesn't matter where it goes. I've got Rebecca with a step away, which means leaving it where it's at. Got some agnostics.
Paul, sorry, it's Greg Chatton. Which option is vote to delete, question 8?
Well, I don't know that we have an option to delete question 8 in its entirety. I perhaps should have put that out there, but we've not had anybody speak so strongly against question 8 in that way, but we certainly could have that. So we'll have a fourth option, which is the turtle, slow down. All right, we've got two slowdowns. Which means delete it altogether. Christine, Doreen, delete. John Nevitt was delete. Now he's not. Greg Chatton, delete. David McCauley. Ooh. Okay, I'm beginning to see the limits of this here because Christine Doreen was delete. Now she's not. John Nevitt's delete. Now he's not. Greg Chatton. Okay. I think this is... I'm not sure that we're holding our votes here long enough for me to develop any sense of where the team is on this one. Okay.
Paul?
Mary, your hand's up. Please rescue me. Yeah.
I think one problem is that some of these options, when you click on them, they don't stay clicked on. At least they don't stay illuminated. So you may want to do it again and have people hit their whichever mark they want to hit as quickly as possible.
I think it's probably more complex at this point because we only have three options, agree, disagree, and step away, and there appear to be four options. So if I could just – maybe we'll just do this in the chat instead. So if I could have – people write either delete question 8, move question 8 to its own question number 3, or amend question number 2 to include question 8. Are those our three options, or am I missing one? Brian, your hands up. Please go ahead, Brian. Maybe you'll have a suggestion of how I figure out how to do this. Thanks,
Paul. There seem to be quite a few people with the turtles showing up and then quickly disappearing. Maybe we needed just the threshold question of the agree or disagree mark and just say, do we want it to, and if there's a majority in favor of deleting, we can move on. And if people want to keep it, then we can do a separate poll as to where to place it. But I think maybe we decide whether or not the group wants it to stay or how the wind is blowing.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brian. Let's do that. So let's first ask the question, should we delete question number 8? If you would like to delete question number 8, please give me a green check mark. If you want to keep question number 8, please give me a red X. Okay, I see some folks, not everybody has given an opinion one way or the other yet. Those on the line, can you say a green check or red
No strong feelings on this one either, Paul. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Claudio. he remains neutral. Okay.
I'll vote delete.
Okay, Steve votes delete. All right, so again, we have it looks like three or four times the number of deletes as we do keep. All right, so let's do that. Question number 8, deleted. All right, let's move on then to question number 9. And I know this question number 9 has already raised some concerns, even though we've not gotten there yet. So I'll read the question, and then I will open the queue. Number 9, what role does the TMCH provider front end play in servicing the additional marketplace RPMs? For example, what website and webinar services in the TMCH provider – well, I'm sorry. What website and webinar services is the TMCH provider providing? What support to TM owners and registrants is the TMCH provider providing? Are these services separated from the ICANN mandated and supported services? And if so, how? And are these services supported by the ICANN contract and fees? Okay. That's a chunky question. Greg had some issues that he mentioned before. He didn't go into detail. I know others may also, so we'll open a queue. Okay. Any concerns with question number 9 as written? Greg Shatton, please go ahead. And Mary, then I see your hand is up, so right after Greg, we'll hear from you.
Thanks, Greg Shatton again. To kind of, to some extent, restate my earlier concerns, that it seems to be a kind of a broad fishing question. And really goes, not to understanding how the additional marketplace RPMs work, but kind of at least has an implicit, seems to have an implicit theory that somehow the TMCH provider is being overly supportive of additional marketplace RPMs. Asking about website and webinar services, and the like, and so just find myself kind of concerned that this is not something that understanding the additional marketplace RPMs needed, and B, that it's kind of trying to build a case rather than merely search for data, especially the way the questions are being asked. And some of these are kind of ambiguous in the sense that, for instance, C, are these services separated from the ICANN mandated and supported services? It's not clear what separated means. I understand that there is in the contract or whatever that underlies the relationship, that the idea that they can run other services, but they need to keep them separated. I suppose that's what this is getting at. The last question, are these services supported by the ICANN contract and fees? That one seems completely, I can't understand that one at all, other than in kind of the when did you stop beating your wife sort of context. I know it needs to be supported by the ICANN contract. And supported by the ICANN fees is getting into kind of some sort of an accounting question as to whether they are in somehow accounting for ICANN fees as only supporting certain aspects of the business or not. And maybe the answer we'll get is we don't track the money separately. What are you getting at here? But again, there just seems to be underlying this a certain skepticism about the role that the TMCH should be playing, which really, is not part of the additional marketplace RPMs mandate at all, to my mind. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. any other comments on question number 9? Kathy, please go ahead.
Paul, I think Mary's hand is raised first.
I'm sorry, Kathy?
I believe Mary's hand has been raised for some time, and I came in afterwards.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did promise, Kathy, thank you for reminding me. I did promise that we would go back to Mary after we heard from Greg. Mary, please go ahead.
Paul, no worries. Hi, this is Mary from staff. I just wanted to highlight that staff had a comment in the document that we had put in some time ago, and Greg did allude to this, and this is in respect of bullet point C, and to some extent bullet point D as well. We just wanted to get some clarification as to what the phrase or the word supported means. If it means ICANN supported, and similarly in D, services supported by the ICANN contract. And the reason we asked is ICANN does not support the additional marketplace RPMs, and the ICANN contract with the TMCH providers do not refer to these additional marketplace RPMs. So we just thought we'd raise that for clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Good, that's a good point. And one, as you mentioned, Greg already mentioned the ambiguity around that. Kathy, thank you for your patience. Please go ahead.
Sorry, delayed coming off mute. I don't see the whole way you're beating your wife. These are pretty direct questions. That's why the coaches sent them to you. I support David McCulley's idea of keeping 2, 8, and 9 in one effort or adjacent to each other, because this is all part of the legitimate questions that we're asking about the role of the providers. We've asked similar questions, as have been noted repeatedly, about the registry operators. Now we're asking about the role of the TMCH providers. And if indeed there's no role, then the answer is no. Or if indeed ICANN contracts are not supporting any of this, then simple answers. But we've always said as a subteam that simple answers don't mean we don't ask the questions or share the answers with the working group. So to the extent anything's deleted, I do think it should be archived so that the working group knows what we've recommended not moving forward with. But, again, supporting David's idea of merging or combining or making adjacent 2, 8, and 9. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Any other comments on this, especially on how we might clarify C and D about the phrase supported? Is it simply just, are these services separated? Are the charges for these services separated on the books from the charges for the ICANN mandated services? And if so, how? Are these services supported financially by the ICANN contracting fees? Is that what this question was meant to be getting at? Anybody have any questions, any comments or responses to that idea that we're asking a financial question? What is it that we're trying to ask in question number C and D? So hopefully we can get them clarified. Kathy, your hand's raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wish Phil were on the call because he was the primary drafter of many of these. So D, are these services, 9D, are these services supported by the ICANN contract and fees? So I think there is a question. Is any ICANN money flowing to these? If there's an easy answer, great. Love easy answers. A, what website and webinar services is the TMC provider providing? That's more, a question of services and what's being done. So I think the question is designed to kind of hit both, all the different things you were saying, services, financial support, et cetera. And again, easy answers, great. Thanks.
Terrific. Okay. So are these services, so there's payments, but there's payments from the from registry operators in theory that they've collected from their registrants, but that's not really, I think, the question. Or I think the question is ICANN, are these services being subsidized in any manner by ICANN, either through the ICANN-mandated services or otherwise, something along those lines? I think that maybe what we're talking about is subsidies, and those could be financial or those could, in theory, be personnel. So, for example, if you have a full-time employee that you've hired to perform the ICANN-mandated services, but they only have 4/5 of a job, and one says that their job is to do these other things, I guess in theory that's a means of subsidizing these. David, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. It's David McCauley for the record. I think I'm confusing folks with my votes and comments. I just wanted to mention that I think I'm struggling. I think maybe we've bogged down a little bit. I'm struggling from this perspective. I'm looking at the questions with two filters. One is an ICANN permission filter, and I tend to think ICANN permission is not something that we're talking about or that we had in focus, and I would agree with that. But the other filter is an information filter to how do additional RPMs affect the DNS security, stability, resiliency. And there I think that's a legitimate question. And if those questions are answered ever in such a way that something could impact adversely the DNS, then I would say, well, maybe those cases do get into the ICANN permission bucket. But looking at it that way, I'm just struggling with some of the questions because maybe I'm taking a lawyer's approach. It's just they're sort of in the middle, and it's just very hard for me to vote. So if I'm confusing folks, I'm sorry. I'm just struggling with how the whole thing is framed. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that comment. Well, guys, guess what? We're running out of time. So I don't think we're going to get across the finish line today as hoped because we simply don't have time to deal with the other remaining issues and to get a cleaned up set together in time. So we'll have at least one more call next Friday. In the meantime, maybe staff can put question 9 out on the list to see if folks can suggest some text to clean up subpart C and D. I think we're trying to capture the idea of subsidizing here, and we need to figure out how to ask that in a way that's straightforward enough and doesn't come off as loaded. So if we could do that as an action item. The other thing from the list that a couple of folks have mentioned is what to do with questions 6 and 8, which, you know, under our very informal trying to decide which way the wind is blowing, the wind blew towards deletion. But some folks have suggested that those be archived at the bottom along with question number 7. And so if we could add that to our list of action items to discuss on the list, should we archive those two deleted questions the way that we archived deleted question number 7? There are, of course, you know, the working group is very porous, so any of those issues can be raised on the working group, of course. Just because we choose not to ask those questions doesn't mean they can't be raised in other forum, but of course archiving them at the bottom is a way to keep track of them. And so let's put that out there as something to discuss on our list during the week. And I think that if we can get question 9 C and D under control and answer the question about archiving the deleted questions, that will leave us with mostly technical things to do on our next call. So I do encourage robust participation during the week on the list, and let's see what we can accomplish before the next call. Staff, anything else, maybe an announcement about when the next call will be, all that good stuff before we go?
Hey Paul, can I mention one thing real quick?
Yeah, Claudio, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. But I missed one of the last calls, and I had a suggested refinement on question 5, but if you want me to do that over the list, I could send
the suggested test for that.
That would be great, Claudio. If you could do that on the list, and staff will watch for it and capture it, and if we don't solve it fully on the list before our next call, they'll help me make sure to remember to put that into the agenda so we can discuss it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Staff, any last things to say before we go?
Hi, Paul. This is Mary from staff. So just to note that we had retained the comment from Claudio from previously about question 5, and what we've noted for today is that there is an action item for Claudio to send some language to the list. And with respect to the other items that you requested, we will follow up with the list as well. And finally, in terms of the next call, we assume it will be the same day, same time. So that would be next Friday at 1600 UTC.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you all very much. And please enjoy the Labor Day weekend if you happen to be residing in the U.S. And for those of you that don't have Monday off, please be a little bit jealous of us who do. Okay. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.